Good morning, everyone. I am Joel Gruber. I'm in the School of Agriculture at Western Illinois University. I'll be talking about how to reduce risk in organic systems with intensive cover cropping and no-till planting. So the site that we're talking about is located about 15 miles north and west of the WIU campus in Macomb. We cash rent a 77-acre farm, fantastic soils, flat black mollisols with poor drainage, and this program has been going on for now over 20 years. We grow about 70 acres of crops every year, 5 to 10 large-scale replicated randomized experiments. We do some small plot work and some demonstration plots. This is an aerial photo from a drone. This work at the research farm would not be possible without lots of fantastic support from student workers and my technician on the left. We also have very little infrastructure, and so collaboration with neighboring farmers is absolutely essential. We probably, typically would be using $1 million plus equipment that we rent from our neighbors, and we're spending a few thousand dollars a year to rent those pieces of equipment. One of the things that is so clear to me in doing this work is that the synchronizing of field activities with Mother Nature is the dividing line between success and failure. Farmers that are able to synchronize their field activities with weather, they succeed. And the same list of field activities that are done poorly in terms of timing with weather will accomplish very different results. This is a very memorable picture to me. We had just finished cultivating corn. We had a narrow window of opportunity. We made use of that opportunity, got the corn cultivated, had a few hours of dry weather, and then this big storm came in, and we had weeks before we could get back in the field. But we had fantastic yields, excellent weed control with one row cultivation of that corn because we got it done at the right time. So I guess I would just look out at all of you and just ask, how many of you feel like the increasing intensity, extremeness of weather has impacted your research? Okay, it's something that we all have to deal with. It's particularly challenging perhaps in organics or any system where field operations need to be done in a timely fashion. So we have had to adjust. We've had to significantly adjust our activities to respond to the intense rainfall and also the intense drought events that we've had. We've had to be more nimble in utilization of windows of opportunity. I do a lot more of the field work. If it needs to be done on a Saturday or a Sunday, I get it done rather than waiting for my technician to come to work. We've diversified our crops and cover crops. We've started using more precision ag technologies that we have access to by renting equipment from our neighbors. And then, of course, we've also been looking at no-till systems. I think most of you are probably familiar with this concept, but it's important to emphasize this is not continuous no-till. This is not no-till with herbicides killing cover crops. This is cover crop-based organic rotational no-till. I think that's a good acronym for what we're doing. We are capturing benefits of no-till without doing continuous no-till. And one of the major benefits is weed control. And another major benefit is we are finding that we can have less risk associated with extreme weather. So, of course, this concept has been around for a while. Rodale helped to pioneer this concept with their roller crimper. There is far less weed seed germination when you do less tillage. There are all sorts of soil health benefits, but of course there are few options for weed termination if you have a no-till system. There are wide variations in the equipment used, from this specialized roller crimper to something like the Cultimulcher here. We have used all the different types of crimpers that we could get access to. So this is just a summary of our work since 2009, and I'll just quickly identify a few things. You could see some early planting dates for the rye, mostly. but that varied. What this means is that, for the most part, we were not following corn harvest. Reason being, our neighbors do the harvesting for us. We have to wait until they've finished harvesting. There are thousands of acres. And so we are mainly looking at following a small grain, or in some cases, other crops. We're using almost exclusively a rustic rye. We've also done some work with triticale. We have found, what you can see listed here is just one soybean variety. This is a very aggressive, high-yielding, very tall, leafy bean, Blue River Hybrids 34A7. We've also done some variety trials trying to identify specific beans for this system. Relatively high populations, but not super high. You can see the variety of different types of crimping. We are now always planting into standing cover crops, and then if we decide we need to roll. We have had situations where we did no rolling. We've had situations where we wanted to roll and could not because it immediately began raining. Another situation, we've done double drilling, where we drill two times, and that accomplishes the crimping for us. And so you can see the yields here, and initially, where you see the letters, we were comparing no-till versus conventional till. We stopped doing that. Our goal was to refine this system rather than to compare tillage systems. So you can see our more recent results here. Some very high soybean yields. These conventional till are in adjacent fields. Planted very similar timing, same genetics, but it's not a replicated experiment. These were replicated where we were comparing different no-till systems. Okay. So here's the critical question. How can we reduce risk and increase farmer adoption of these types of systems? I think this is a fantastic article that goes through many different options, really lays out a lot of ways to possibly refine these systems. And this is something that I draw from, but we've tried to go beyond some of the options that are discussed in that article. One of the critical questions is, what does a good stand of soybeans look like in one of these systems? I would say this is a pretty good stand with lots of residue. This was planted with a drill. And this used to be our goal. For almost all of our work, we planted with a drill, 7.5-inch rows. We now have decided that we would prefer to plant with a precision planter. And so most of our work going forward will probably not be with a drill, but with a precision planter. Okay. If you can achieve about 4 plants per square foot, pretty uniform distribution, you can do very well with a drill. A drill cannot place the seed as uniformly, cannot place it as deeply into moisture, and has more problems with hairpinning of residue than a planter. So if you can achieve this, great, but we are finding that we'd prefer to use a planter. Okay, we have done double drilling, and double drilling is pretty slick where you're using guidance and you can move over, you can split the rows even between 7.5-inch rows, you can just move over and split those rows. And that knocks down your cover crops without having to use a roller crimper. But it also does more soil disturbance and is another pass across the field. So while we were excited about this at one time, we've moved on from that. Okay, so this is what we really want to use. We want to be using a good corn planter, a modern corn planter that can give you good placement of seed without needing to have a coulter in front, without having very much soil disturbance at all. This was planting actually our no-till corn experiment this year. And we found that we can place seed into soil moisture with very little disturbance of the residue consistently with a corn planter. Of course, if you're planting on 30-inch rows or other wide row spacing, you have the opportunity to use a high residue cultivator. So this is a Buffalo cultivator. These happen to be 22-inch sweeps. So that leaves you very little space for error. And we were able to do this. We are planting with RTK guidance. We're not cultivating with guidance yet, but when you plant perfectly straight rows, you can, with a good operator, drive with only 4 inches of variation. Another advantage of the planting system is if you're planting high populations, for example, 200,000, you have very close spacing of the soybeans in row. And that in-row canopy development is so much more critical than the inter-row canopy. So if you can develop that in-row canopy very quickly, you actually have a system where the weeds can be controlled with a high residue cultivator, or even if they're not controlled, they don't matter nearly as much. We do a lot of variety trialing, two different locations, a conventional and organic location. This is just an example of some results. What you can see at the top, 34A7, 65 bushels per acre, we consistently get very high yields. That's an old bean variety. We trialed that the very first year that I arrived at Western 10 years ago, and we still see that it's almost always near the top. And the reason I'm showing you this is almost none of the literature talks about that there is variation in how well certain beans perform in this system. Some soybeans are much better suited for an organic no-till system than others. And the 34A7 is one that we found, but we found some others as well. So this is just an example of where we are comparing different varieties. This was a 3.9 versus the 3.4. That's a 3.9, 3.4. And so you can see the difference in maturity there. There's also lots of variation in cereal rye. And so we have found that a rootstock works very well, but there's actually a hybrid rye that we're going to try, and triticale, a forage triticale that has worked well. Are high seeding rates necessary? I don't think so, even though there's so much emphasis on that. We found that early seeding matters much more than high seeding rates. What you can see here is this is 200 pounds to 100 pounds per acre. You get a lot more stems, but you have much more spindly stems. And then the total biomass production is not necessarily any different. Unless you have enough resources to support those additional plants, you don't get any more biomass. I think what really matters is high percent cover early in the fall and in the spring. You need that ground covered early in the fall and early in the spring to have good weed control. So where we're going now is trying to grow more biomass, but in different ways, not just with the rye or triticale. So we're using these types of mixes. And just very quickly, this is kind of how we might put together a system where rather than following the corn with beans, we are following some type of spring-planted small grain. You could even possibly fit in a summer mix before you grow the rye, or that could be frost-seeded red clover, but that will feed your rye so you have more biomass. And then you have your no-till. Okay. And just to wrap this up, the bottom line is there are lots of innovative ways we can do this. This was where we were actually seeding only 10 pounds of rye per acre, and then we were able to come in with a mix of different species that the spring planted species complemented the fall planted. Okay, and I'll just wrap up by saying it is possible to do tillage intensive organic if the weather cooperates. But there are many ways that we can fine tune our no-till systems to reduce risk, increase adoption by farmers, and also, as you can see here, to increase yields as well. Thank you, everybody.